Along our journey through the realms of spirituality, conspiracy, SRA, ancient history, cryptozoology, wellness of the body, mind, and more. From undisclosed locations across the country, the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast will challenge you, stretch your perspective, and make you question your reality. With your hosts, Mitchell O'Brien and his brother, Lucas O'Brien, looking through the lens of recovery from substance use disorder, the paradigm shift starts here.
Welcome back to Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. I am Mitchell O'Brien. I'm here, I'm just going to say it, tonight with Lucas O'Brien. Lucas, before you say anything, I want to wish you a happy Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Did I say that right?
No, close, but
that's
but
what
thank
it,
you.
That's what it says. And for people who don't know what that means, that means
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. Okay,
that's how Ben Shapiro says it. At least, and he's Jewish, so I assume that he probably knows.
He is pretty Jewish, so it means head of the year. Rosh Hashanah. Represents the beginning of the Jewish New Year, translating from Hebrew to mean the head of the year. It's commemorated in different ways, including special prayers, foods, and gatherings. The celebration of the New Year is the only Jewish holiday that is 2 days long, both inside and outside Israel. Yep. So happy Rosh Hashanah, or whatever you said.
Rosh Hashanah.
See, it makes it sound like there's two words or one word when you say it that way, but it's written as two words.
Yeah, it's like a soft H.
Gotcha.
That's the one of the weird things with Hebrew and Greek's similar to, and a lot, honestly, a lot of languages that aren't English. It's like the emphasis is in a very different spot often than you'd think. Mm-hmm. So like we see Rosh and then we think it's Ha Shana, but it's like Rosh Hashana, where the ah at the end is like the emphasized part.
Ah.
Gotcha. Ah.
Gotcha. Yeah, the I saw that on my calendar this morning and I was like, oh, I think that's Jewish. And then I looked it up earlier and I was like, that's gonna be the start of the podcast. Happy New Year, everybody. Basically. But
yeah. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Even though it's night.
I'm just saying good morning because you said it was night. So no, I'm talking in the morning.
Keeping everybody on their toes.
I've got a scripture to read.
Okay.
Let's just stir the pot right away.
I have some pot stirring things too, but let's do yours first.
Well, it's directly related to what you just said. So.
Oh, okay.
Exodus 12. Starting in verse 2. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Guess what month that was?
Rosh Hashanah?
No, it was in Aviv or Abib, depending on how you translate it. Rosh Hashanah is in Nisan.
Ooh,
which happens to be a pagan deity, but Ultima? That's the name they use for their month.
It's the Ultima deity.
So Aviv, Passover is on the 14th of Aviv or the second Sabbath. I can't remember. Passover is in the spring. So that's one of the things I've never quite understood about Judaism is you've got like, they've got this calendar that starts in the fall going into the dead time of the year. And the Bible, the law of Moses, Yahweh comes to Moses and says, this is going to be the beginning of the year for you, which is in like late March, early April, depending on where it falls.
Huh.
Yeah.
So would I don't, you know, so much more about this than I do. And the beginning of it kind of goes into the dead part of the year is what you're saying. So does the year progressively become more alive with things as it goes until you get back to this point where it's dead again? Does that make sense?
Kind of, but like if you go from, if you base it off of what it says in Exodus 12, that the beginning of the year is in the month of Aviv, which is like the month of blossoming or rising, or I don't remember the exact translation, but the name makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's going into Passover and it's at the beginning of the year, I think right around the spring equinox, I believe.
Hmm.
And I used to know this a lot more. I've studied into a lot of different calendar stuff. And the hard thing is it all starts to blend eventually. And then I realized none of it makes sense because none of it lines up anymore. But
right. We talked about that. And then
the
Gregorians.
Year starts. God says the year starts at the beginning. It sounds dumb. At the beginning of the year. If God says the year starts at the beginning of the year, because it does. In the spring, it makes sense because there's this blossoming of new life. It ends in the winter, goes back into spring, right? Because the end of the year is the beginning of the year and vice versa. Whereas on the Jewish calendar, since they came out of Babylon, they begin their year in the fall going into winter. Hmm. So it's like when everything's dying, going into the dead season, coming into life, and then going back into death to start over again, which just seems weird to me. I don't know. And there's supposedly two different calendars in scripture where there's like the ancient Hebrews supposedly had like their fiscal calendar and their like religious calendar. The religious calendar started in the spring, but the fiscal calendar started in the fall.
Hmm.
I don't know. All I know is none of it lines up anymore. And like you said, we've talked about that in the past. So.
Well, the reason I kind of asked that, I started listening to this podcast. They're called Haunted Cosmos. I think you should listen to it. I think you'd really like it.
I probably would. I'm trying to check it out.
Those of you that don't know, Lucas recommended it to me. But I was listening to it today. I had a drive for work. And they were talking about creation and the steps of creation. So I'm wondering if there's an analogy to how God structures the year and the seasons to how creation worked. So I don't know if it was Ben. I forget the other guy's name. What's the other guy's name?
I don't remember.
Sorry, other guy. I like you. I
want to say Dan. Ben and Dan.
There you go. Sure. You're Dan for now.
Well, I listened to all their stuff, and now I've been waiting for weeks for their new stuff to come out because they have like an off season where they work on stuff. And so I listen to it all in bulk like I do. Yeah. And it's been a few weeks since I listened to them now. So I'm like, what were their names?
So either way, I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about the steps of creation. It's like you have the beginning step, which was like existence. It just things existed. Let there be light, stuff like that. And then there was like mass. And the way he put it was like, then there was rocks. Like, you know, the earth, he formed the earth and all of that. And then you've got plant life, which is basically, I think how he said it, rocks with growth. And then
rocks with weird growths.
And then you've got life, like animal life, which is a step further from plant life, where you now have like the living, breathing, flesh and blood creature. And then you have man at the end of that, which is the beast. And I think this was their episode. They talked about werewolves. It was a more recent one from their last season, like the second or third from the last.
Very good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have man.
So what about dragons?
It was after the dragon one. Mm-hmm. So I had it up and I don't right now. But and he's like, and at the end of that, after you have the animals, it's like it's the beasts is what he was saying. And then you have the creation of man at the end there. And then that is kind of like the creation of the beasts, but with rationale is what he said, or rationale, or you know, you've got, it's, you know, we're made like the beasts, but there's more to us than that. So it's like you have these steps. And so when you, I don't know, I was talking, just being silly, because today is Rosh Hashanah, and I'm not going to get it right. I wasn't even on purpose. I'm just not going to get it right. I'm sorry, Jewish people. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not. I'm really not. But, and then you said what you said, and it made me think of that. Like, does the Jewish year, the way that God put it, like, does it reflect that? Is this an analogy of that, maybe, or not so much?
I don't know if it reflects that exactly, but it kind of does, because so you come out of winter into spring. Spring is the time of nothingness, where the seed that was planted in death in the fall now springs into new life. And so everything goes from mud and brown and just not that great into all this new abundant life. That's when most animals have babies as well, as in the spring, so that by the fall or winter, they're tough enough to handle the colder weather, or they can migrate depending on, you know, birds or whatever. So it does kind of reflect that, because then you go into the summer, which is like the strength of life, where everything is established and growing and flourishing in its abundance. And then you go into the fall, where everything turns orange, red, and yellow. And it's a representation of, it's actually, this is a really cool representation of the entirety of the seven ages of the earth.
Right.
Or is it seven ages, or the entire earth age, where it begins in creation and ends in fire, which is represented in scripture. And it talks about the coming day of the Lord, where everything will be burned up and a new heaven and new earth will be made. And the last judgment will be the judgment of fire. And so you see that in the creation where you have everything springing to life, the abundance of life, everything ending in fire, going down in flames, literally, because it looks like fire in the trees and then it all falls to the ground dead. And it's all buried in death, lays dormant for a season and rises up into new life in the spring, which is the same representation of mankind, where we are buried in death, our physical body gets put into the ground in death, and we sleep for a time, and then we rise up in new life in the resurrection.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is pretty cool. But that's starting in the spring, not in the fall.
Right. I like what you said there about the fall time signifying the judgment of fire, but you said that's going to happen. But what if it also signifies the asteroid that hit the planet and wiped out the pre-Adamic race of extra advanced people that were on Earth that made it a desolate place for mankind to be brought in and given dominion over the planet in Genesis?
Made it desolate and destroyed.
Yeah, that's the way I like to say it. I think I say it wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, that was the last Earth judgment before the recreation of new life on the Earth.
Right.
Which is actually, it's becoming a more and more common viewpoint within the church. And I've been listening to the Prophecy Watchers. They have a whole ministry and multiple podcasts and stuff. And they talk about prophecy in the Bible and what we're seeing in the world. And they really think that we're in the end times, which every generation since Christ has. But Jesus said he'll be with us until the end of the age. Well, without going into a 8-hour explanation, an age is 2,000 years. And there's different places where they get that from, but particularly the Essenes, which had left us the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they were the ones that went by the name The Way. They were followers of The Way. Jesus said, "I am the way," when he came. They were the ones that when Jesus came and preached to them, they all became believers. There's thousands of them became believers because they were followers of the Essenes, not of Judaism of the time. There's a lot of different things there. They were the ones that kept the Book of Enoch safe. There were just a lot. I don't remember what I was getting at.
You're about to say that the Essenes and Jesus being the way, that they were the actual Mandalorians, is what I think you're about to say.
But yes, they followed the way because it is the way.
It is the way. Yeah. Jesus was the way. They were the true Mandalorians.
No, so. Mandalorians are Taoists, I'm pretty sure. But Taoism might actually spring out of traditional proper religion. I don't even know what to call it. But Taoism, Tao is the way as well.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
I don't think that's the way, though, because it's not Jesus.
Well, but actual Taoism might be Jesus without knowing him by name. Now that's a bold, I'm not saying become a Taoist and but Taoism is more of a philosophy than it is a religion, and there's religions that have sprung out of it, but the philosophy of Taoism is very, very similar to rule the earth and not subdue it. I don't think that's a good translation, but to keep the earth, to be keepers of the earth, to live peaceably with all things, including the earth, and to tend and keep the earth is kind of the fundamental message of Taoism. And Christ and Paul were both advocates of living peaceably with men around you, to not make an unneeded wake around you, but to live in unity with the people around you in the earth, unless you had to stand up for something that was blatantly sinful. And that's totally different. Then you fashion a whip and you drive them out, obviously. But
right. They definitely didn't just walk around proclaiming the power of the name of Jesus over everything because they felt like it and they needed an ego boost.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the only reason, obviously.
Well, I say that because I've lived that life. It's not good. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. or you're going to open yourself up to get hurt. like not hurt yourself, but yeah, I dig it. I have another question for you that's completely unrelated. Are you ready to just completely change gears from Disney Star Wars to something completely different?
Well, considering we were very vaguely and shortly talking about Star Wars, yeah,
So you've heard the term extraterrestrial.
Yes.
You've heard the term extra dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know what those are. Extraterrestrial is something, and you know, it gets used for aliens, but it can be objects too that aren't originated on Earth.
Well, it really just means they're terrestrial, but they're just like a little extra.
So extra, so demure.
yeah, that's the term, not right. Demure.
I don't even know if I'm using it properly. I just think it's silly. But so extraterrestrial, they use it as something that's not originated on Earth. Extra dimensional is then the same concept, just not from the spatial dimensions that we're familiar with. I personally think that to label something extra dimensional just because it doesn't come from the dimensions that we're comfortable with is a little rude. But here we are.
What if we're extra dimensional?
I think we are, if you believe the Bible. But anyway.
Well, yeah, we might get into that too. Good podcast about that this week.
Right. But no, that's kind of where I'm going is, you know, I heard another podcast over on Blurry Creatures with my pretty much hero these days, Timothy Alberino. And they brought up the terms crypto-terrestrial. I was like, you got Bitcoin? What?
That's when I first saw it, I was like, what? Crypto? Because I follow a guy called the Survival Podcast, and he does everything from like homesteading, cryptocurrency, political stuff. Like his political viewpoint is we should burn it all to the ground, which I agree with. It's great.
Yeah.
And so I saw crypto and I thought it was one of his. And I'm like, terrestrial? What? What are they talking about? And it turns out it's a Harvard term.
Right. Yeah, they came up with it. But it's a real term now, too. Like when I put it, when I type it, it's not, it doesn't say, you misspelled this. So that's how I know things are real in the real world, is if I type it into like Google or Word or something like that, and you just, you know, space away from it, it'll go, that's not a real thing because this word isn't spelt right. That's a pretty good parameter for what's real and what's not, right?
Fleek.
Fleek. Fleek. Got that riz. Hey.
Yeah.
No.
That fleek got riz.
No, there's some good ones out there that you can't actually find actual real spelling for. But after
the real question is, did you look up crypto terrestrial in the Urban Dictionary? Because that's how you know it's legit.
I know, because I've actually gotten a couple things added to the Urban Dictionary, and we're not going to talk about those on this podcast because those are different. We go out there pretty far, but they're just a little too, like, yeah, hit me in the DMs. I'll give you my old, Cola. Oh, we're not going to do that. Sorry, we got a phone call there, so I had to shut off that channel. Yeah, so it's obvious, you know, if I'm an editor of and can add to the Urban Dictionary, then everything in it is 100% true, is what I was trying to say.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So I just looked up crypto, and it says it's short for cryptography. First, it says it's short for cryptocurrency, and it's like, well, maybe yeah. Now, but that's not the origin of the word Google. Like I want a little bit of background here.
Yeah.
Cryptography. Graphy is writing in Greek. It's the cool thing about learning Greek. I'm like half of our English words come from Greek. So I'm starting to learn a lot about English.
Yep.
Crypto means to conceal. So it's like concealed writing is cryptography.
Yeah.
But it says a crypto is a a dated and informal use now, but it was a person of a secret allegiance to a political creed, specifically communism.
Secret communists.
Secret communist aliens. That's what's going on.
So what they're saying is the words coming from crypto, which means secret, terrestrial means on Earth. So they're secretly here. So not extraterrestrial. Yeah. And then, but they're crypto-terrestrial. So maybe a remnant from pre-Adamic, at least pre-Diluvian times before the flood or floods from a couple of things I've been hearing about lately. But see, that's what crypto-terrestrial is meaning in that same kind of umbrella of words describing things like extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional. And then the one that piqued my interest the most, that this article that Blurry and Timothy Alberino were talking about just mentions but doesn't really talk about a lot, was extratempestrial.
Well, it's just kind of fun to say.
I know. I had to listen to it 8 times before I could really understand what the word was. And then look it up. So I made sure I had the right spelling for our podcast. But that is kind of on the same lines of extra dimensional or extraterrestrial. It's extra tempestrial, and the temp is temporal, which has to do with timelines. So if you're extra tempestrial, you're here in a thing, but you're not from this time. So we're talking about time travelers at that point. And then that article,
fourth dimensional beings, essentially, said a being that has gained the ability to manipulate time in some way, even if it's technological.
Right. Yeah. So it's just, you know, their origin is a different time, you know, different space or point in time in one way.
Well, I'm one of those because I originated in 1992.
So we're all also extratempestrial. And I don't like going out in public, so I'm pretty sure I'm all of these things. Well, not extraterrestrial. I was born here, so I can't say that. So I've got 3 out of 4 of these down. Extra dimensional, we got spiritual size, we got extra dimension, extra tempestrial. I was born in 1987, so here we are, 2024. Yeah. Crypto terrestrial, like I'd like to do
practically
everything a secret as much as possible here on Earth. So here we go.
And I've been accused of being an alien before, so who knows?
I wasn't there when you were born, but it would have been pretty tough for the aliens to swap you out at birth, I think.
I mean, mom could have been abducted and I could have been implanted.
That's true.
Let's be real. This is a common occurrence now. It's in the article we're talking about.
It is, because they do talk by Harvard and Montana Tech or whatever it was.
Yeah. By the way, if anyone wants to look it up, I've found it really easily. I just put in crypto terrestrial Harvard, and then researchgate.net came up where they publish research papers. You can download a PDF or you can read it right there. It's interesting. It's like, and it says right at the start, this is speculation based on the beliefs of, you know, the people that wrote it. And this isn't like an official whatever, you know. But like they talk about the Bible. They talk about, like, I don't want to give it all away. I know there's more you want to go into, but it's super interesting.
Not so much. Like I've talked about my shenanigans, but it's the crypto terrestrial hypothesis, a case for scientific openness to a concealed earthly explanation for unidentified anomalous phenomena.
That's how you know it's Harvard, because there's a lot of unneeded large words that you can't pronounce normally.
Discover the world's research. No, I looked it up too, because I'm going to put a link to it in our description. So everybody just scroll down from where you hit play and you should be able to get to this pretty easily. And yet you can download it. That's cool, actually, because I didn't have time to look into it earlier. I finished the Blurry Creatures podcast, which is great. Honestly, you should shut this one off right now and go listen to it. Timothy Alberino has so much more I don't do anything like an actual podcaster should. You know, he has so much more insight and knowledge behind it and understanding of it that you, this is worth listening to. If you've ever had any kind of belief in aliens, if you've ever had any kind of doubt that what, you know, our modern, quote unquote, modern science says is true or not, or what people are being taught in schools, I think this is worth looking into. And for the layman like me, doing it through someplace like Blurry Creatures is going to make it easier for you to understand, because Timothy really does break it down in digestible chunks for people that can only do a certain amount of big words in a day, like me. So let's see here.
He likes to use big words too, though, so be careful. You might have to look some up.
Who, me or
Timothy Alberino?
Oh, gotcha. My coworker said perspective today, and people don't really know who I'm talking about, but other people do. Oh, you have a message. and
yes, yes, I do.
I had a phone call. You have a message. Everybody's trying to get on this podcast. It's ridiculous. We're just beating people down. So many guests, we don't know what to do with them. But he said perspective, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh, that's a big word, buddy. I'm proud of you. And he called me a choice word, and I kind of deserved it. But the article does talk about the crypto-terrestrial, the extra-tempestrial, extraterrestrial. And then I think that they mention extra dimensional. The article is more about crypto terrestrial. They acknowledge the possible existence of others or hybrids in between the different factions mentioned there. Because it, who knows, it doesn't have to be cut and dry one or the other. So I heard actually that this one was an article in response, or like the second in a series of either an extraterrestrial one or the extra dimensional one. I can't remember. I haven't been able to look that up. I think it would be fascinating to find. Timothy Alberino talks about it in that other, in Blurry Creatures podcast that they dropped. It was either, I think it was yesterday. I should just put a link to that in there too. I'll figure that out. But, Lucas and I were talking before the recording, and he hit me. I was really stressed out the other day, and he hit me with some stuff about the podcast. And he's like, we should call the podcast Kai. And I was like, I'm too tired to talk about this or even think about it. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I didn't say that because I was trying to be as kind as I could. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But I asked him, and I was like, what were you talking about? And what did you say? It was and or more, like the meaning of it.
I mean, essentially, the most basic usage of Kai is and. It's the Greek word for and, but it can mean even or something like even, more. It essentially ties two ideas together to say that there's more to what is being said.
Right. And then and we got on. Go ahead.
I was just saying that, like, that's why I threw it out there. Like, our podcast, we talk about a lot of different things and we just kind of go all over the place, and there's always more to talk about, and we're always trying to point people further out. Like, we're not the experts. We're a good compilation of information where we can give you resources to go find more information, though. So I like the idea of, like, just and. Yeah. It's simple, but it's, we are and. We are the thing connecting you to more.
That's an alien cult. Like, you have to put your glowing finger up and say it really creepy, like, we are, and I don't know. I feel like I saw something similar in a movie one time. But when
that was E.T.
Not the phone home thing. It was a different one, but it was more culty looking. But you were explaining to me what Kai means, and I was like, that's actually interesting, because I kind of unsung or fully sung, I don't even know. I put it on all my social medias and a lot of things, is a lyric from an Imagine Dragons song. And I think it's From Whatever It Takes. I'm pretty sure. I get those two mixed up because they're both very, or those both. I didn't even say what both of them are. The Imagine Dragons song Believer and Whatever It Takes have been very profound for me in my recovery and wellness journey. Music itself has been very profound for me. And in Whatever It Takes, it's a very powerful song for people trying to overcome things in their life, especially for me, it was mental health and addiction. So the lyric is, I'm an apostrophe. I'm just a symbol to remind you there's more to see. That's kind of what the job of an apostrophe is in a sentence, is we're going to mark the sentence here to let you know there's more to this sentence. So, like, this is a more of it. I don't even know. Like, you could just keep writing the sentence, but somebody down the line wanted that extra comma, but whatever. High comma, not low comma. I'm saying the wrong things now. But that's kind of what Kai was, and that's kind of why I talk about the other podcasts that we listen to so much. The Confessionals. Now we've started to bring up Haunted Cosmos because I finally found their good episodes. Not that they have bad ones, but they have the ones with the actual meat and potatoes. Just
different. Yeah, they're kind of different.
And I don't even, like, at first I was like, I don't like that it's just stories. And you're like, it's not. That's an off-season. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because now I see it. Like, you go and listen to one of their actual episodes from their seasons, and it does start with a story, and then there's, like, podcast after that, and sometimes story at the end. So once I got that structure, I was down. I was in. It's fine. I thought it was just the stories. And I'm like, I don't know. I've read enough creepypastas. Like, that's what this is to me.
Well, that's kind of what the stories are. They're based on reality. And some of them are, like, actual real stories. But they're at least based on reality. But they're pretty much creepypastas.
Yeah. They're pretty much creepypastas in that format. But there's a lot of mythology stories from across the world. And then kind of the more detailed version that not a lot of people know. And then they kind of go into what they speculate, what does the Bible say about stuff like that, and kind of rabbit trail a little bit, kind of like we do, and they have a good synergy between the two of the guys, Ben and the guy that we forget, sorry. but I really was talking to Lucas, and I'm just rambling now, but I was really talking about to Lucas, especially after he explained what Kai means, is like, that's kind of, if that's all I am, or this podcast here ever becomes, is something that somebody runs across to then go, oh, I've never heard of this other podcast. I've never heard of that other one. And it gets them to go listen to Tony Merkel or go listen to Nate and Luke or Ben and the Mystery Man. Then, like, I won that day. My purpose was fulfilled.
Brian.
Is what?
Brian.
Ben and Brian.
Ben and Brian.
I'm so sorry, Brian.
Which we should remember because our last name is O'Brien. Right. It's Brian with an apostrophe and an O.
O'Brien.
It kind of ties it all together.
So we failed tonight, Brian. But we appreciate your content. We really do. You and Ben do a great job. And that's what I was trying to say.
Mostly Ben. But
huh?
Mostly Ben. He does all the, like, the editing and stuff. He's full time on the podcast. Brian is just like, he's me. He just sits in and dresses so smart. But he's a pastor and he's, like, I think got a PhD and is actually smart. So
you're actually smart though too, because you do a lot more actual research and you have a lot more actual knowledge. I have concepts and ideas.
You're like a Tony Merkel.
It's freaked me out. There's like this mystery noise that I can't hear through my headphones, and I thought the UFOs were landing. They could be.
Just in the article. Just in the Harvard article.
But the Harvard article really, it piqued my interest because these are people, these aren't some people with wild hair on the History Channel, you know, getting too excited over circumstantial, questionable evidence. These are educated people who are willing to say, hey, this could be real. And they have actual, I don't want to say skin in the game, but they're from Harvard. They're from the Montana Tech in Montana, University of Montana. And, you know, they have reputations to think about. So if they're willing to say, we need to consider this stuff because it actually could be true, that means that the social environment, I've been using that term a lot lately, the social environment is changing to where it's okay to talk about this stuff. You're interested in it? Okay. No, you're not crazy. It's okay to be interested in this now. The smart people care now. You know, that's kind of where we're getting to. And I like that. I think that's a good thing. Now, I'm talking a lot. I wish you would talk more. I'm not giving you a time to. I understand that. Is this me being excited because all of a sudden it's okay to talk about it? Or is this all part of the dragon's plan to desensitize us to the fact that there's going to be a fake extraterrestrial invasion soon? Like in the book Birthright from Timothy Alberino, he postulates that. I had to use that in the sentence about him.
Kai. I think the answer is Kai.
And
it's both. It's exciting because it's becoming, but it's kind of weird. Like people that listen to the podcast, they hear us, they're like, these guys are nuts. They're all over the place. They believe all this crazy stuff. I didn't just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like pre-COVID, I wasn't like Bigfoot's fake, aliens are not real. Like I was like, oh, come on. Like, I don't know about that. Especially aliens. I was like, that's bullshit. Like, right. Bigfoot, I was like, okay, I'm on the fence. We can talk about Bigfoot. We can talk about, you know, dinosaurs being dragons, whatever. But during COVID, God did a really amazing thing with me. He let me almost die and completely lose my mind. Like, not completely. Like, I didn't go crazy, but the function of my brain, like, halved from what it normally is, which is a really bad thing. My whole body was shutting down and it was horrible. Every step of the process, it's been what, 4 years of recovery, and I'm finally starting to get back to normal now. My mind now, I think, actually works better than it ever has because of the health journey that I've went on, and I've learned so many things, but the main thing that happened was a removing of the veil.
Yes.
When I was in that state, it's like he just, first thing he did was strip me of everything that wasn't me. And so he showed me, like, I wasn't my work. I wasn't my strength. I wasn't my looks. I wasn't my, you know, and I could break down why each one of these things, like, because I lost all of these things in the process. Down to the point where music was the biggest thing for me. I play all sorts of different instruments. I was playing music 5 to 6 days a week between the house of prayer that I was working at and the church that I went to, and occasionally sitting in with a friend at a bar or something like that too. Like, I played constantly, and I was the bass player. I played the ukulele. I was the guy that played on the flute instruments and played around with all these weird instruments and wrote music all the time. And always, like, I wasn't the one that showed up to a campfire with a guitar though, because I hate that guy. Campfires aren't right without him, but I hate that guy.
That's like the pre-evolution if youth pastors were the third stage of a Pokemon. The guy who shows up
No. Youth pastors are like the second stage that has a really hard, weird thing you have to do to get to the third stage, and they never quite get there.
I think you're talking about Catholic priests.
Well, there's that too.
Oh, that's terrible.
Or they're like the third stage of a Pokemon that evolves, and you're just like, oh, I thought that was going to be cooler.
But they'll probably get a mega evolution in like 6 or 7 more, you know, games, so whatever.
Hey, those became obsolete, though. So it's still hurting for the youth pastors, man. Youth pastors, we love you.
We do.
And you're cringy. Just, you're always cringy.
I think you have
to be. But we still love you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you have to be. So just embrace it. It's fine.
And you have to have a goatee, I think. Or no, that's worship pastors. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. The worship pastors is a goatee or long hair.
Or both. Yeah.
Yep. And then, but the guy at the bonfire with the guitar, nobody likes you. I'm going to say it. Nobody.
I'm telling you, the midsummer campfire without that guy, it's just not right. But we still don't like you.
No.
You're still annoying.
I can so do it without, like, so just just leave the guitar in. Like, I don't know. I want to throw the guitar in the fire. I respect guitars. But when Guitar Guy comes out and starts playing Wonderwall, in Deep Purple,
and it's always Wonderwall.
It's always Wonderwall. Like, just stop, dude. Stop.
Wait, you know Seven Nation Army? Really? You and every 15-year-old? That's so cool.
I'm gonna start a game of Truth or Dare and dare you to go home. That's how it's gonna work. Like, just stop. Oh,
I hope there are people out there that relate to us. We probably all like. Four of our listeners are probably the Guitar Guy, and they're all offended, and we're never going to have a listen again after this.
It's funny because the analytics department of where we post our podcasts has updated recently and showed me how many of our listens before were like bots and SEO spiders, which are like different like Google mapping out the internet to make searching easier. Mm-hmm. It was staggering. It was not a good day for me. I was like, oh, these are the real people that are listening to us. Oh, okay. And they like removed the duplicate listens. It's like, oh, this hurt. I was like, my heart. Okay. But we still do have a couple of listeners, and I do want to shout out to the people listening to us on YouTube. I'm sorry when they won't post our content. There's really no easy way for me to just repost it, and sometimes I think it's because of the content that we listen to. But there are a couple podcasts that you've missed because they're either too long, and that's Lucas's and my fault, really, or we talk about some juicy stuff in like 5 or 8 seconds gets put on there, and they're like, there's been a technical issue. And then since you've already clicked that button, you can't just easy click that button. So I'd have to like tear it all down and start over from the beginning. And it's just like, I don't got time for that. So if you do want to listen to some that you haven't, because we have gotten a couple episodes with some significant views on it on YouTube, check out Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. If you Google that, I think the first link that comes up is the RSS feed, and that'll have all the stuff, everything. So, but don't go beyond or before episode 16. So I haven't deleted those. It's going to happen someday.
Well, and yes, I agree with all that. I'm going to go back to what I was saying though, because yes. I remember now.
Okay.
I'm amazed that people follow our train of thought. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just find us entertaining. And if you find us entertaining, I'm okay with that, because I think that's why most of my coworkers talk to me too.
Yeah. I get that. Some people anyway, are like, I like how your brain works. I was like, there's something wrong with you too then.
Right? I mean, I have coworkers all the time that give me this look like, what? And they're like, how did you connect that? And I'm like, I have little squirrels that run around in my head and they bury nuts. And then occasionally those nuts get dug up and they're somewhere they weren't. But they're close to other nuts that get dug up, and then it all connects. It's, you know.
But it's all really just science. Nuts. That's all it is. It's nuts.
Yeah. It's all nuts. Anyway, so God broke down everything that I was, and he started to rebuild me the way that I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And it's a long process, but like that's true Christianity. That is the actual transformation of the renewal of your mind. And for me, it took almost dying. It doesn't take that for everyone. But it did. And it was the second time I've almost died. I didn't get there the first time because I was very much in my religious programming back then.
Yep.
But what he did the second time is I was like, I'm going to seek and I'm going to find and I'm going to knock and you're going to open the door because that's what the Bible says. And you say in the Bible that it's your word and that I can trust it. And so if your Bible says that if I seek, I will find, and if I knock, the door will be open to me, then I'm knocking on the damn door and you're going to open it. And that led me to leave the church, to drop out of all the ministries I was in, to lose all of my friends, to end up in a potentially a cult, to leave the cult, to move to a different state. Got married in that process. That was really cool. It was crazy. It was a crazy process. But I've come out on the other side of it with a view of reality that is real. And not a lot of people ever get there. A lot of people stay in the matrix. And he unplugged me. Yep. And he got me out because I started knocking. And I said, I want out. And I want out, I didn't know how horrifying I want out would be and how many times my mind has had a mental break. And back when I still drank, there were so many times where I'd come across something and I'd be like, I need to drink. And next thing I knew, I was like five, you know, whiskey and whiskeys in. And that's what I mixed my whiskey with whiskey.
Bottles?
It was
five bottles?
No, not bottles.
Oh, that's what I did.
I was never that much of an alcoholic. Yeah,
that was me.
Yeah, you had like 100% BAC, which I don't know how that's possible, but just I think like, you did a couple times.
Stick a pin in my arm and you could pour a shot. And I'm not bragging. It sounds like I'm bragging. I like to make fun of myself for how stupid I was with substances when I was younger. But yeah. That's happened.
It is slightly impressive. Like, it's not a good impressive, but it is impressive.
You're still alive? I get that a lot. You're still alive.
Hey, I mean, we have a cousin who ended up in jail. And what was his BAC? Like 3-something? 0.3-something? Or 0.4-something? I want to say it was 0.4-something. It was like almost 50% alcohol.
Yeah.
That means his blood was almost 50% alcohol.
Yeah, I've picked people up for work that were like that. So when I rolled my car, I hadn't drank since about 9:30 the night before. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's almost 12 hours. And I was in the high threes. It was 0.387.
Jeez.
That's how much. Well, I was so unhealthy. And then the people in the emergency room were like, well, your body's pretty much shutting down. Like, nothing's working the way it's supposed to. So you're not processing it either. But yeah, it was not uncommon for me to 3 to 4 bottles of liquor in a night back then. And people are like, oh, I drank one time, I got alcohol poisoning. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I lived alcohol poisoned for a couple of years. Like, just in that state. Because I couldn't tell you when, you know, that's when you start to get sick when you quit instead of getting sick when you do it.
Situation. Yeah, your body's like, I can't function without this now.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And so
this is the only thing keeping me going.
And I don't want any of the listeners, and I keep interrupting you, I don't want any of the listeners to ever hear me joking around and think that I'm bragging. I am 100% making fun of myself for how stupid I was for doing that to myself. I mean, there's arguments in there that there was a little bit of outside influence, but I did a lot of that to myself and it was dumb. And that's why I know when I talk about purpose that there's something he has for me to do in the kingdom, because other than the two times I actually did try to end it on this time around here, I should have passed despite of those, like just because of my lifestyle. So We're here. We're apostrophes. Take it away where I cut you off.
The song that you mentioned. I can't remember the name now, but it was the one that you mentioned. It's not Believer. It's the other one.
Whatever it takes. So I think the I was telling you about the cut scene that's only in the video. I think the cut scene I told you about is in Believer, and then but the lyric I was telling you about was in Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons. Those two songs, just listen to Believer and then listen to Whatever It Takes. And if you don't cry, you're not broken enough. Because like
you don't cry, you are a fully fixed, functioning human being. Yeah. Jerk.
The first time I heard that, like it hit me emotionally. The first time I accidentally, like, I'm pretty sure God did this. Like he got into my YouTube and flipped that switch. And they just played the video versions instead because they're extended and they have other stuff. I remember driving down Munson Avenue in Traverse City, Michigan, door dashing because I just couldn't really do anything else. And I just regained the ability to really walk. And I was just trying to make a little bit of money. And that played in that order. And I was over by the hospital at NMC. And I just started bawling because at that point, it was just like, it was like he, like I didn't hear a voice, but it was almost like I just knew. The King of Heaven came down and whispered in my spiritual ear, you have a purpose. And I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that message to you somehow. And it just came through in those songs. It really did. So that was also when the like kind of towards the last part of when I was dealing with suicidal ideation. And so, yeah, music has been a big deal. I keep stealing your spotlight. I'm not trying to. So
I don't remember what I was talking about.
So. You were.
It was it's still... okay because last week I talked like 90% of the time because you were out of it. So you're just making up for lost time.
Well, and I felt so bad for last week too. Like we can just talk blatantly here. I felt like I rambled the entire time and you barely talked. I was so out of it. I was so tired. I'm not much better today, but my brain is a little bit. And, you know, and I got to have a snack and a little bit of caffeine before we did this. So I'm a little bit more here. But yeah, I felt really bad for the listeners last week. If one of our two listeners doesn't come back because of that, I wouldn't blame them.
I would. You better come back. We need you.
I know where you live.
So I wanted to go into two different things. Well, potentially, I just wanted to touch on two different things that I came across this week that I found interesting since we are Kai this week.
And?
No, just Kai.
And?
We're Greek now, Mitchell. Why are you speaking this broken English language?
I'm speaking in tongues. We have turned... So.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing it. You're hearing English. It in I'm sorry. English. Yeah. That's my fault.
So. Hold on.
Gifts of the Spirit.
When you explained this to me earlier, it reminded me of a Family Guy episode where, to be annoying, the Peter just kept going, and then, and somebody would say something, and he'd be like, and then they'd have to say something more, and then he'd be like, and it just really irritated him. And I'm like, that's what Kai is. And?
Kind of.
And?
I like to think that's just kind of us. Yeah. Just kind of that. Just kind of annoying. And hey, if we're your annoying background sound that helps you get to sleep at night, more power to you. Because something will seep through at some point. And that's how the Holy Spirit works.
That's so long. Anyway, yes. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was a seagull cricket.
Billy Crone.
Billy Crone.
I was listening to Prophecy Watchers this week, which is really cool. Really helps to have a lot of scriptural background to know what they're talking about. Though they talk about things in a way that you don't need it. It really helps. just so you know. They have different people on. They interview them. They talk to them about biblical prophecy, things that are going on. This man used to be in the occult. And he has a book. He actually has a bunch of books. I'm going to look into him more. I haven't read any of his books. I just listened to the podcast.
So Prophecy Watchers.
But this book's called World Religions, Cults, and the Occult. And he talks about, in the book, from what he said, he talks about a bunch of different world religions and Christianity and the contrast. And pretty much how all world religions, because he came out of the occult and the New Age. He calls the New Age the occult. Because it is demon worship. And he can break that down for you. I'm sorry if you're in the New Age and you're worshiping demons and you're deceived. Don't do that anymore. You can get help. You can get out of that. You can find the truth. But what you'll find on the other side is that it is demon and fallen angel worship, and that all religions of the world other than Christianity have been that. And they've been a deception to destroy humans long term. And they all come to this culmination of what's happening now with the UAP phenomenon and the alien disclosure and all that kind of stuff. It all ties in. It's going to lead to the one world government, the one currency that's not a paper currency, but something beyond that, and leads to the mark of the beast long term. And so he was talking about this stuff. His name's Billy Crone. He's a good resource if you've been in a cult or part of the occult or in the New Age or something like that, and you're going, okay, I don't know if I agree with these guys, but I want to look into it more. So Billy Crone's writings would be a good place to look, or Joshua Peck's writings as well.
Okay, that's what I was trying to interject, because we almost had him on as a guest here.
Maybe we will if he's willing. That'd be cool.
Because I talked to you, because he was kind of, I don't know if he was brought to Jesus by L.A. Marzulli, but that was the guy, and he's the one who sent us a copy of the book, and that's back when I was into some of these occult practices, and for some reason, I messaged back and forth with Josh, and you're saying Prophecy Watchers, and I'm like, because I follow him on Facebook, and he's a cool dude. Because he was part in the occult too, and he was like he'd gotten to a higher level warlock position, I think. I'm trying to find how to spell Billy's last name.
Crone.
Cr. So it's the easy one. I was going with the fancy one.
Yeah. Josh is on Prophecy Watchers as well. He's connected with L.A. Marzulli and all those guys. And L.A.'s on there. L.A.'s got some amazing stuff about the UFO and UAP phenomenon and how it connects to biblical prophecies and things you see throughout the Bible. The really cool thing is all this stuff we talked about from Harvard and that we've talked about with the aliens and with Bigfoot, and the Bible has an answer for all of it. Mm-hmm. And people think that, like, oh, Christians, like, you can't look at this stuff because none of it's in the Bible, and you just have to believe what the Bible says. None of that stuff's real. It's all just demons. It's like, well, it might be, but it's connected to the demonic for the most part, whether it is demons or it's something adjacent. The Bible has an explanation for all of it. And the 66 books have an explanation for all of it, let alone adding the Book of Enoch and other things like that.
Yeah.
And these guys talk about this stuff. It's really cool because they have a better way to represent what they're talking about. They put more time and effort into, I mean, they've been writing books about it. So, like, they've taken the time to compile the knowledge into a book. So they're people who are worth listening to because they've put the time in. They've had the life experience that, you know, Mitchell and I are talking about these things from our experience, but I haven't put in 20 years of research and then written a book about it.
Right.
So maybe go to the guys that have, if you have more questions. Billy Crone or Joshua Peck are both great resources. Joshua Peck's stuff on Prophecy Watchers recently about the Dead Sea Scrolls has been amazing.
I heard some of the stuff about prophecies
and 2025 and 2075 and the start of the last week of this age. It's fascinating. We might be coming into the last generation of this, like, section of creation before the new creation, based on the biblical timeline. And he's got some pretty good evidence for that. And he's not setting exact dates or anything like that. He's not saying like that. You'd have to listen to it to really understand or read his books about it, but really interesting stuff. I wanted to throw that out there as resources, as more Kai for people. So now that that's our theme that I've been going off. There was a podcast dropped this week by Tony Merkel called Dark Shift. Tony Merkel's The Confessionals.
Okay, hold on to that. I can't hear it.
Okay.
Nothing will work. I try to play it, and it just won't work.
Dark Shift?
Yeah.
Won't work?
I can play any of his other episodes, and that one won't load.
What are you trying to play it on?
Try to play it on YouTube.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's not on YouTube.
No, it's there. There's people that have commented on it. I can read the comments about people that have... I have to look because I've always had, I just moved on to a different because I have so many podcasts that I listen to, but I'm like Dark Shift, and then I look at the you know there's you know thousands of likes and all of this stuff and
yeah
and all of the comments and I'm like there are people that are listening to this. I want to
well, let me sum it up quickly. Yeah. If you can get it and listen to it, it's totally worth the time. It's a little all over the place because. He's interviewing this guy. I think he goes by Russ. It's not his real name. And they talk about these few different people. Tony's been in contact with at least four people that are all involved in this. There's a book written about it. That was a fiction book about the life of these people to put the information out there that you can't get anymore. It's been completely removed from the market.
Oh.
Long story short, well, for one, the guy that he's interviewing, his brother's been on Tony's show.
Yep.
And his brother sold himself to Bale and has Bale's like insignia tattooed on his shoulder.
Ugh.
And has been working for Bale most of his life in a like upside down kind of realm. Something not in this one, but closely related to it. Like a different dimension. These guys are talking about Middle Earth. They don't use that term, but they said, you know, Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and the things they write about, they were going to a place like this. And I'm not sure if they knew they were or not, but they were seeing into a place like this because these people have lived like decades or lifetimes in these other realms, usually in their sleep. They learn to control it. They like it. It's really crazy, but it connects with a lot of different things that I've heard, and it put a lot of things together. It's very, very interesting. The craziest part is you have Baal, which means Lord, in I think Aramaic or Hebrew or something.
Right.
But this was a evil god of the time, and it was what the pagans around Israel worshipped most of the time. Baal was the horned god, and was which people that know things that'll connect some things for you if it hasn't already, but was also connected to Moloch and was the bull, and they would make these giant bronze or brass bulls that they'd put a fire under these hands, and then they'd sacrifice their babies in the hands of the bull.
Yep.
Burning them alive in the hot metal hands to sacrifice them to Moloch or Baal. May not be the same entity all the time, but it was sometimes. This is the Baal that this guy is working for, worshiping. The other guy, I can't remember the name of the other demon, but there's another demon talked about by name that this guy worked or this guy's friend that he worked with had worked for. And it like comes out into our realm and tries to chase them. And then the friend like grows a foot and sprints up a hill and slays something on the other side of a fence. And he can't hear it. And he's like covered in black goo. And it's it's really, really crazy. It sounds like something out of the Avengers or something the entire time.
The black goo.
But there's corroboration. Like,
Bride Ministries stuff.
Oh, yeah. It connects to stuff from Bride Ministries. Also, the interdimensional things, the people living different lives, people being taken here without knowing. Usually you have to enter a dream state to end up in this realm, but you can learn to do it while you're conscious.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You may have been there before. I may go there. Not wanting to. I had some interesting experiences in my dreams this past week. My wife woke me up in the middle of one and I was being tortured by a non-human entity, and that's all I can remember.
Remember, I labeled the episode "I Bare Knuckle Fought a Demon."
Yeah,
that's what that's. Yeah, like that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I had learned how to go to these places instead of just while dreaming or in that in between, because I know I had talked about that with the astral projection stuff. Like, there's the in between where you're like falling asleep and you can kind of slip into this other place for astral projection. And then I started to learn how to do it. And then there was like that. We did a couple podcasts where we talked about it. One was I Bare Knuckle Fought a Demon, and then the Fallen Seraph one after that. But it's that exact, like that black goo monster thing.
Well, and that's how the way he described it was like a black licorice monster.
And that's kind of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it made me think of like Venom.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's worth listening to is all I've got to say. Like, if you're into this stuff and you've got some information about this stuff and background on different things, and you, I don't know if it's all true. It's a story, and some of it's secondhand because it's the guys he's talking about, his brother who sold himself the ball. But like, again, Tony's had him on the show and it corroborates with what he said. He's contacted this girl they talk about, and it's corroborated what she said. She wrote the book. Some of these guys have read the book, and it all connects with what was in this book. And it like, it's very interesting. It's secret. Some of it's secret government stuff, underground stuff, extra dimensional. Essentially, the friend would go to this other realm, and he had like a mentor there who is this giant creature. And when he would go there, the giant creature would possess his body in this realm, and he would get like a foot taller. Mm-hmm. And when he was there, he was trained to be a killer, and he would go on these missions and like eradicate monsters and things on the other side. And so like the one guy was being tormented by these like monkey demons that they couldn't see. The brother could see, but no one else could see because they were tormenting the brother. And it was when he wouldn't listen to Ball, these things would come and torment him. And the buddy shows up and goes into the other realm and slays all the monkey demons. And then is like, I need to go home, I'm exhausted. And in the process, he transforms into this giant thing that looks like him, but is like taller and thinner and has a different voice slightly.
Yeah,
I don't know. It sounds really, really out there, and I'm not saying I believe all of it, but it's really, really interesting, especially with all the other things I've heard and that I know and that I've experienced and that you've talked about and stuff like it. It's totally worth looking into. Tony said this podcast has been in the process for like 4 years trying to put all this stuff together.
So I listened to so many podcasts recently. I realized after you started to really describe the episode, I was having this issue with YouTube where it literally would play any episode on the confessionals that I clicked, but that one, it would glitch out. It would literally like, and then that's when I saw the comments and the likes and people seeing that people are actually listening to it. So I went to the confessionals through the Apple Podcasts. I listened to it there. So I did listen to it the day after it came out, and It's weird how I didn't remember that right at first, but then the more like there's this weird like block in my head, but so I got to listen to it there, and what they described was so much my experience. I mean, I didn't have monkey demons or anything, but that... I mean, I immediately thought of the Venom when they were talking about the black monster and covered with the goo and stuff like that. Like, that's what it looked like. That's why I used the album art that I did for that I Bare Knuckle Fought a Demon episode that we did when I told the story. Mm-hmm. Because I got AI to recreate something that looked incredibly close to what I remember happening. And it was me as like this light being with like an orangish yellowish tint fighting this black gooey being. Both of us had human like forms without really features, like facial features or anything. But it was kind of like this black licorice color. There would be, I had to be holding on to part, like it would get away, kind of like Venom can in the movies. Like, mm-hmm. or like, remember Dragon Ball Z with like Majin Buu?
Yeah.
But if you could grab onto these energy centers, like chakras centers on this being, then it couldn't get away. That's the only way I could keep it there without it like slipping out of my grasp. And just the way they talked about how it was like dreams at first, and then it like eventually got to where it wasn't anymore. Like it so much reflected. And Tony Merkel's been doing this to me, man. When he had that one with Fringe, that lady Fringe.
Yeah.
I got chills from that. And she even said in the episode where she's like, I don't even know if this is going to make any sense, but this is my story. This is what I've done, and this is how it is. Like, I don't know. You asked me to be on, so here I am. And I had to comment on that one and say, no, like, your story is so validating to what I've been through. Like, this is one of the most validating to my personal experience podcasts that I've ever heard. And she actually commented back like a thank you for saying that. The Fringe lady did. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it meant a lot to her because of how she was talking about how it sounds nuts and nobody's going to believe her. And then I was like, no, no. And I wasn't the only one. Like, there was a lot of people. But he keeps doing this, man. He keeps getting these people that are having these experiences, and other people are having these experiences. And like, all of a sudden, there's a safe place to talk about it.
Yeah. They're like, wait, maybe I'm not crazy. I've been trying to convince myself I was crazy this entire time because of this crazy stuff that I went through. Maybe I'm not. Maybe this actually happened.
Right.
And the plurality of anecdote is evidence. I just go back to that. It's if one of these stories is true, we have to change our paradigm.
Right. I like how everything kind of comes full circle because Josh Peck did another book about the New Age and stuff like that with Stephen Bankars. And mm-hmm. the foreword was written by Dr. Heiser before he died. I'm going to link that book into the description too, because I've read quite a bit of that book. I think that's what I was reading when I got Birthright. Sorry, Josh.
I read the whole thing. That was a good one.
Did you get to read that one?
I think that's the one I read.
Because that's the one that he sent us to listen.
Yeah.
He actually listened to some of our stuff. It was like, I think I'd like to be on the podcast. And I think he wanted to because he saw people searching or me, you know, like searching and going the wrong way. And like possibly going some of the ways that he was. And you actually are the one that said that. You're like, maybe it's because he wants to like evangelize to you. I was like, well, I believe in Jesus and God. I just believe all this other stuff too. And that's back when, you know, I was saying some pretty crazy stuff. So early on in the whatever podcast experience.
So I have a question for you. And we'll probably do it to kind of end things off, but comes from something I heard today. And I think it was the Billy Crone podcast. But how do you get to heaven? What is the way to nirvana or heaven or paradise or, you know, whatever we think of as the peaceful place of rest beyond this life? Like, what is your opinion on how that happens? How do we get there? What does religion say? What is, you know, all that?
Well, you say the words, I believe in Jesus, and then you can do whatever you want with your life, right? Like, that's what the churches say, you know? Pretty much every church that I've went to in the last, 37 years, as long as you say that, you have salvation, and there's no way that it can be taken away. Even though there is scripture that says there are unforgivable sins, and, there's like, there's so much argument against that. It sickens me. But you do. You have to believe that Jesus was, I always want to say the Christ because it's easy, but the set apart son of the one true almighty God. And he is the reigning true king that came to earth, this earth that we're walking on, breathed this air, drank this water, died for our sins, and then hypernaturally, because I'm not going to say supernaturally, I forgot what we, preternatural? I can't remember.
Yeah. Preternatural. It's like almost natural.
Whenever I hear that, I want to say, natural predators is what comes into my head, but, died for us, was dead for 3 days, went to Tartarus, Sheol, hell, whatever you want to believe, got the keys to death. Owns everything. He is on the spiritual king throne of this planet. And our job now is to believe that and to do the best we possibly can to shed our old lives that are in rebellion to the kingdom of heaven and the beliefs of Jesus himself. And follow him, try to become more like him, be servants in his army or wherever he puts us. And I think that's what it is. I really don't know a good way to say it, how it means to me, other than saying you have to believe in Jesus and follow him. But that's what everybody says, and that's not enough. that's not yeah. enough words to really like okay, so it is enough, because that's what you have to do. You have to believe in Jesus, you have to follow him, and then but this it's really not, that's become so stale.
And I have an argument for that, but essentially the thing that I heard was like 70%, and say what you want about statistics, good, bad, whatever, but recently polled, 70% of supposedly born-again church-going believers believe that there's more than one way to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. And like, it says that Christ is the only way, that he is the way to the Father. All other religions, well, most religions say something along the lines of they're the only way, actually.
Yeah.
Most other religions have a aspect of Jesus in them too, which is interesting. Christianity is the one where he says, this is me, this is real, this is it. And then it actually backs it up. And it can be backed up in signs and wonders today. It can be backed up in healing. It can be backed up in life change. It can be like, he still does miracles. A lot of the church wouldn't say that, but he still does miracles, and it's going to be backed up real good when he comes back. There's going to be no question. We're going to know. It says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord of the earth. He is the overseer. It is his. He sits on the throne. He came as a man so that he could have dominion over the earth. So many different things, but Catholicism, which is the world's biggest cult, as we've talked about, it's not true Christianity. It's not even close to true Christianity. It doesn't believe the true tenets of Christianity. It'll try to tell you it is, and it tries to like force that on everybody. But they're starting to say that all roads lead to heaven. And I have said before that I think as long as you're seeking truth, it doesn't really matter where you seek it, because I think you will find him. And I stand by that, because I think if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. Ask and you will receive. That's the other part of that statement. But yep. So you look for those things. You ask, you seek, and you knock. And that might come through looking at different religions. I think I'm better off now from looking at different religions because I see the falsity of them in the light of the truth. I grew up in Christianity, and there were all these holes in it that I just didn't make sense to me and stuff. And now I've come around full circle and I'm like, this is it. I see it now. And it's not the Christianity I grew up in. It's different.
Well, it's not that there were holes. It's that it was irresponsibly taught, I think is what it was.
Irresponsibly taught and misunderstood.
Yep.
Because even sometimes I wonder if it was just that we were veiled and we couldn't understand. And we weren't taught well, and our brains weren't fully developed. I mean, there's a lot of different aspects. There's a part of me that's always known Jesus, though. And I've come in contact with that part of me this year and, like, kind of reunited with that part of me and felt the emotion of knowing him and the safety that I had from knowing him as a young child. So it's like I knew him, but I didn't know how to follow him. He didn't transform my life, and that wasn't a him problem. It was a me problem. I didn't let him transform my life, and that's the point. When you were saying that there needs to be more, like the Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's step one. But it also says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you're not transformed by the renewing of your mind and you claim that you've confessed that he is Lord, I would say, and this is going to sound very judgmental and a lot of people might have issues with it, but I would say that you probably don't know him. Because like there was a part of me that knew him, but I didn't follow him and I didn't really know him for who he was. Because once I started to know him for who he was, he started transforming my mind. And essentially, it was when you focus on Christ, the exalted one, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, when you focus on him, you are transformed into his image. It's not that he actually, I mean, he comes in and does work in you, but it's like, it's more like because you finally fix your gaze on him, you just start to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Like things just start to fall into order properly because you're being transformed back to proper creation, mostly in your mind, not necessarily in your body, though sometimes there's healing in the body too. There has to be those steps of learning to follow him. There has to be fruit. And I'm not saying it's works-based. That's the problem, is that people get mixed up here and they go, oh, you're saying it's works-based salvation. It's like, no, you are saved by grace alone. You're saved by confession of the mouth and believing in the heart. But if there are no works that follow that, is there proof of a heart change? Does that make sense?
It does. If you will let me, I'd like to answer your question and address the first thing that I said when you asked me the question. When I said all you got to do is believe, right? Because that's what I learned in church. It was taught in a church, strikingly recent. But I think that Jesus should answer this himself. And I found a passage, and I would like to read it. You're going to know exactly what it is once I start reading it. But these are words of Jesus, red letters in the Bible. I'm reading out of the ESV. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I made 2 talents more." His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid the talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When I was explaining my part before you started to talk, this passage was reminded to me to talk and bring it up. And when you pray the prayer, "I believe in Jesus and I want to be saved," you get a talent. What are you going to do with it? I think that Jesus himself answers that question right here. That one servant got something from the master and he did nothing with it. So if you don't try and use the salvation and guidance and, you know, following him that you're going to get when you become truly saved, and you just pray the prayer and believe, that's kind of a revelation that I just got, is he's not going to be happy when you come by and be like, "No, I believe you were real. I believe you were real." And then he's like, what did you do about it?" "Well, I mean, I know you're real." And that's it. I mean, a lot of people like to throw analogies on here because it says talents and they talk about, you know, spiritual gifts and abilities. And I've heard it preached a whole bunch of ways. But I think that this is really talking about what we were just talking about. And Jesus himself is answering the question for us right here. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And then it talks about after that, verse 31, the final judgment goes into that, which we're not going to go into tonight. But I just thought that was worth bringing up.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I articulated it well. What'd you say?
So we got Prophet Mitchell showing up over here.
That wasn't Prophet Mitchell. That was Jesus answering the question for us, is how I put it. Like,
yeah, that's what prophets do. They hear the voice of God and then they speak it.
That's true. I just got reminded of this, and I'm so studied when it comes to references. I mean, I can out reference a Catholic bishop. We've went there before, but I'm not bragging.
Well, it's not hard when you're trying to out reference a non-Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. they can, you know, sing a AC/DC song, but they can't tell you which chapter or which book of the Bible the armor of God's in. But it blows my mind. That just blows my mind. Like learn a little bit just to be fake. Like that's what I'm not gonna right. go to, you know.
Like, well, and in that point, it's like, well, shouldn't you know how your enemies armor up? Like, come on, man.
Right. So anyway, But no, this was like, I brought up the joke about all you got to do is pray this prayer. And then after I said that, I kind of, my point kind of petered off, and I just got this voice that said, you know, parable of the talents. And I had to look it up, and because I don't know the reference, but I'm gonna put it in the description. But this is saying something right here. It really is about what we're talking about. And even if you're a servant of Jesus, if you're a servant, I'm starting to get tired. It's getting late. If you're a servant of Jesus, if you don't do anything with that, I'm going to go out on a branch here and say that it's just as bad as if you were in active rebellion. That's what I get from this passage.
I mean, he said many people will come to him and say, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We fed the poor in your name. And he's going to say, be gone from me. I never knew you. You workers of lawlessness.
Yep.
And that should be sobering to people. And that's, I'm not a person that thinks you can't know that you're like, I will be with him someday. And I know this, and I am assured of this. And the only thing that I can say to people is, if you don't know that for sure, you probably have more work to do. You probably have some Bible to learn. You probably have some time in prayer that you need. You probably need to repent of some things. And maybe not, because I mean, I've known that for a very long time. I've been sure of my salvation for a very, very long time. And it's not because I prayed a prayer. It's because I've known him, and I've seen him, and I've experienced him, and something changed in me, and I knew that I was being changed into glory, and that I would be with him someday. And I hear these people that say they're Christians, they're like, well, you can't be sure of your salvation. I'm like,
what?
Okay. I don't know what to tell you, but and I'm like, you might want to check yourself and go, am I really saved? Or am I just going through motions? Cause like, you can go to church all the time. You can even read your Bible, and you can, but like, not let him do the work in you, because it's letting go. That's the main thing, is like, you have to let go of your control of life and give it over to him and say, you are Lord. Lord means master. It means ruler. It means, like, if you're the Lord of the land, you're the ruler of that land, and everyone is to report to you in that land. So when you make him Lord of your life, you're giving over ownership. You're saying, I will do what you want from me. And generally what he wants from you is you to be happy and do what you think is best for your life. Not always, but generally. So it's like, you find freedom by giving up your freedom is essentially what happens. But there might be times where he says, I don't want you to do that. And it could be alcohol or porn or the opposite sex or the same sex or the, you know, whatever thing you struggle with, or it could be taking that job. It could be moving to that place. It could be buying that car. Oh. It could be, you know, like there's a lot of different things that could look like, and you're going to know that based on the still small voice that meets you in the silence and guides you through life.
You're touching right on the edge of the Galatians I wanted to get into. You really are. where Paul talks about his interaction with Peter and the law and all of that. Like, I wanted to get into that really bad. We're out of time. Like, it's done for this, but maybe that's what we go into next time, because Galatians, just a real quick overview, talks about how what Jesus did for us, the crucifixion and the resurrection, the law of the Torah, the Old Testament, that doesn't matter anymore. There is more of a law per person, is kind of a picture that it paints, but you have to be very, very careful with that. Because a lot of people are going to use that to make their own rules, and that's not the case. But they're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and all of that. And, well, we can't eat with these people because they don't abide by the law. And Paul kind of goes, everybody's a little bit different. And if it's sin for you, it's not necessarily sin for them. It's more, we got to talk about this and go into it. I'm going to lead people astray. I really am. But, you know,
we can go into it next week. That's a good cliffhanger. Jump into next week.
I think it would be good. This is going to be the first time we have this far ahead to think about something we're going to talk about next week. Because I read Galatians recently, and it's so good. It talks a lot about the you know, people being judgmental to other people and you being upset because this person is doing something that you're not supposed to be doing or whatever. And it kind of talks how Jesus put it together for us in the new covenant. So we'll get our poop in a group and come back next time and talk about it. But Galatians for next week. Is there anything else you want to say before we go?
No, I think we've said plenty tonight. This has been awesome.
I know. Yeah, it turned out.
Good night, y'all. Good morning.
Wherever you're at, when, whatever.
Yeah, whenever you're at.
Whenever extra tempestrial position you're in right now. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Over and out.
Thanks for listening to the Redacted Recover Your Mind podcast. For more episodes, click the link in the description. We'll be right back.